Are you ready for the word this morning? Yeah. Amen. Always good, and I know Bob is...
Before you do that, can we do one thing?
Thank you. You keep...
Yeah.
I got this
on. Okay.
Jason, Eric, would you stand up a minute?
Jason and Eric.
Some of you that's been around a while might remember these two faces. They're not pretty faces, but they're unforgettable. But I'd like to give a shout-out to them. These two guys, they're not from this area. Where are you from? Trenton. That's close. Close. But no, they're here. They're going to be doing, I don't know if it's Habitat for Humanity. Is it through that or not? Or something as Wounded Warriors? They're helping build homes for disabled veterans. Now, that is a great thing. I think it was Brian that said it this morning, that showing God's love takes action, right? Not just sitting in a pew. And we thank you and applaud you guys for spending your time and doing that. Give me a hand.
All right. You know, you guys do a good job there. So let's pray for Bob.
Thank you.
Ask God just to move mightily upon him. Father, we give you thanks this morning. We rejoice in your presence.
Yes.
We thank you for the multitude of gifts that you have placed in this body and in your body throughout the world.
Yes. Now,
Father, we pray that you would bless Bob as he brings forth your word today. Let him bring it forth under the anointing of the Spirit of God himself. And may our hearts be ready. Touch our hearts and motivate us and move us. Father, through your might, through your power, we ask in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Really, it's good to be here this morning. And before we get started, young lady there in the brown sweater, what's your name? Alicia? God had given me a word this morning. I was going to come over and pray for you, but I seen Donna, of course, in the Holy Spirit, since I was tied up here, beat me to it. I just happened to turn around. But just as you come in, you had a real heaviness this morning. You had a real worry and an anxiety. And God had given me a word for you. That he loves you, though people may forsake you, he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. You put your trust in him, and he'll take care of you through what you're going through. Amen? Okay. Thank you, Donna, for being obedient. All right. If you've been here since about the beginning of the year, Pastor John has been talking about God's purpose, plan, and will in our life, right? We all have that. Could I have the first scripture up there, please? Ephesians 1:11. Thank you. Let's read this morning. I'm going to kind of catch up a little bit with what Pastor Don has been speaking about and just add one layer to it today. All right? You with me? Good. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Look at the words in there. Chosen, predestined, plan, conformity, purpose, will. You think anything is left to chance? That verse there, Pastor John could speak for 4 years on, you would never exhaust those words, would you? That is some heavy stuff in there. Really is. But we're going to endeavor this morning to take a look at part of it. We're going to take a look this morning, like I said, that Pastor John has been speaking about purpose, plan, and will. Some people think that the plan comes first. It doesn't, does it? A lot of times you'll see it written out, plan, purpose, and will. Actually, it's purpose, plan, and will. How can you have a plan unless you have a purpose? Right? If you don't have something to do or something you want to do, why do you need a plan? You don't. God has a purpose to start with, and that is to draw us back to him. I hate to break this to you, but from the day we were born, we were separated from God. And what's so great about... Let me read this. In Genesis 3, Genesis 3, 17 through 19. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife, not touching that one, and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. God had put a chain on us. That was the chain of death. We were all born to die. And he doesn't want that. He loves us. So he said, man, what can I do? I need a plan of redemption, a plan of salvation. I need a sacrifice. I wonder what I can do. And that's where the plan comes in. He had a plan. Now, the good thing about the purpose and plan is they're both corporate, meaning that's the purpose is the same for everybody. Rico's purpose is the same as Donna's. That purpose is to bring us back to him, right? It's all the same. There is no difference. That is his main purpose in our lives. But what is this plan? Is it a secret plan? A lot of times we take, like wartime, they take plans and they hide them away and stuff so nobody can steal it. No, this is just the opposite. This is a plan that he brought out in the light that needs to be seen, needs to be shared. How many want to be separated from God? Good. I was kind of worried I might see a hand. So what is God's plan to bring us back to him? One guess. Say that again. Say it again. Jeez. You guys, you act like this at baseball and football games? Go Tigers. Don't be ashamed of that name. Just the opposite. You want to get some action, just run into some place and start yelling, Jesus. Everybody going to turn, what's wrong with that guy? You can yell anything else. They don't care. You yell Jesus, you got somebody's attention. Good or bad, you got their attention, though. But Jesus is God's plan. And that is corporate as well. There's only one way, one plan to go to heaven. In spite of what anybody says, there is only one way to heaven. And how's that, Donovan? Amen. Period. There are certain statements that are irrefutable that you can base your life on. And this is one we base our life on. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to Psalm. Well, let me change it. Pull out your devices and scroll to Psalm 18, 4 through 6. You know, I walk around the Bible, people ask me what that is. That's God's word. It's Bible. Oh, I didn't know. I thought that was all on the phone. No, they make hard copies of it. Psalm 18, 4 through 6. Death bound me with chains, and the flood of ungodliness mounted a massive attack against me. We ever feel like that? That the whole world is coming against you? Trapped and helpless. We ever felt that way? I struggled against the ropes that drew me on to death. In my distress, I screamed to the Lord for his help, and he heard me. You know, God always hears us. Sometimes we wonder, does God hear me? Well, I'll tell you right now, every time you pray, God hears it. But I never get an answer. Maybe he's saying no, and you just don't want to hear it. Somebody ever asked you something so ridiculous, you just shake your head and walk away? Man, what can I say to that? Sometimes we go in front of God with some of the silliest things, right? Like I think it was last week Pastor John spoke about, I'm not sure if it was you, I think it was. It was Mary and where Jesus was at their house, right? And he said, they were both doing the right thing, but one was doing the better thing. Here, how often are you going to have God in your house? And you're worried about the drapes. your house needs cleaning, call Esther. Right? But do we waste our time? Now we have an open road to him at all times through the Holy Spirit. But how often do we go knocking on that door? Sometimes we don't want to hear God's answers. But you know what? It's always the right answer. And he heard from me, from heaven. That's where he lives, not in Trenton, but in heaven. My cry reaches his ears. Always will. And that cry was, I'm chained to death. Weariness. Heaviness. What can I do? In Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect. If it did, well, let me finish. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw nearer to God. That is, of course, Jesus Christ. For the law made nothing perfect. I just read out of Genesis, didn't I? In the Garden of Eden, there was one man, one woman, one law, and they still blew it. Now, at the time that Moses gave the 12 commandments, now it was 12 times what it was, and there was millions of people. Now, what do you think the odds are that we're going to be able to follow that? Everybody is. Isn't going to happen. But that was part of God's plan, to show us we can't do it on our own. We love to try, don't we? You know, sometimes we'll be running along doing something, we'll have to stop and look back and see if God's still there. If you got to look behind you to see God, you better slow down. Hebrews 10:14. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. A couple weeks ago I spoke about up in Sunday morning Bible study. I asked one question. How many perfect Christians do we have here? I think Pastor Don was the only one crazy enough to raise his hand. Everybody didn't know what to do. Well, you know, I ain't perfect. No, I didn't ask if you were perfect. I said, are you a perfect Christian? You know what a perfect Christian is? One that turns his life over to God and does everything that God asks. You're perfect in his eyes. What do we ask of our children? Oh, I got great kids. What's that mean? They listen to me and do what I tell them. Right? So that was, the law was not going to work. That wasn't the plan. That was a prelude to the plan to show us we needed a better plan. That one sacrifice was Jesus Christ. For all of us, that purpose and plan are corporate. They're all the same for all of us. There's only one purpose and one plan in everyone's life here. Amen? But, I said, what did you speak on last week, Pastor? Will. Thank you. It was a good word. I'm going to tell you today what's going to stop you from doing that. But first, let's build on what Pastor John said. Will is is the third most important thing, because if you have a purpose and a plan, what good is it if you don't walk it out? Right? Pastor John was called to be a pastor. What if he didn't walk it out, sit in the back pew back there? He could just be happy as could be. What about the rest of us? We're missing out on a gifting, aren't we? But do you think he'd be happy sitting back there? No. Because he knows the will in his life. Everyone has a will in their life. But this is where the change is. It's not corporate. Look to the left of you and look to the right of you. That person has a different will on their life than you do. There's no two fingerprints the same. What's that tell you? No two people are the same. So no two people have the exact same calling. Right? Even when we're married. Joe and Alex, their calling isn't the same. Because I know Joe can't sing. But yet his wife has that gift. Joe, being a lawyer, is an excellent speaker. He has that gift. We all have gifts. But we're all different in what God wants us to do. So what we need to do is discern what God's will is in our life. The purpose and plan we've already got out, that's easy. wants to bring me back to him, give my life to Jesus. Then get to work. Okay, I'm ready to go to work. What do I do? That's where the will comes in. We need to discern what, where, and how. Where is pretty easy. We'll hold the what for a minute. But where you do your will is pretty easy. It's dictated by when you were born. You were born 100 years ago, so if he made sure that you were born now, the will he has on your life is to do something now, right? Where you live. It's not by accident, is it? Nothing is coincidence. Nothing's by accident. You live where God placed you. If not, he'll move you around. He'll burn your house down if he has to get you to go where he wants you to, because it's the best thing for us. If you're not walking in God's will, you're never going to be happy. Even though that will is hard sometimes, like Pastor Don said this morning, he calls us to do some wild and strange things. Most of us don't like to do wild and strange things, do we? Other than myself. Where you work. That should tell you where you are to open your mouth. I don't like to say anything at work. Then why did God put you there? To make money? He can give you money anywhere. I don't work. I got some money. You don't have to work to get money. God provides, right? Us old retirees. Where you go to church will give you a lot of where. It'll also give you a why, too, and a what. Some churches are named by what? Just down the street, we have a church of deliverance. What do you think their main thing is? Deliverance. I'd have never guessed. First Baptist Church. First Missionary Church of God. What do you think their greatest thing is? Missionary work, right? So where you go to church, where you feel comfortable at, has a lot to do with what you're going to do, where you feel comfortable, where you can walk out God's will. So the where does make a difference. And God has already worked that out. Like we said up there, chosen and predestined. And the how is easy too, believe it or not. The what is the only question we have to ask God personally. Because that one we might not know what we need to do. We know where we need to do it. Now I'm going to tell you how to do it. You remember I said purpose and plan are both corporate for everybody. But the will was personal. God gives us all gifts. How many people have a gift? Okay. Don't get a big head. Because that gift says nothing. When I give Pastor John a present for Christmas, what does that say about him? Nothing. I'm the one that picked it. I'm the one that went out and bought it. I'm the one that decided what to get him. So it tells you about the giver. Your gift is a testament to God, not yourself. It's like a radio. Radio only plays what's on it, right? Is your radio a great singer? But yet great singing come through it, can't it? Speaking of singing, young lady with a green scarf. Is this a friend of yours? Or who is it? Oh, okay. I don't know why, but God just told me when I said music there or something that you really have a song in your heart, that you have a gift with music of some kind. Your eyes are kind of wandering. What is it? That's how your joy comes out. You might be a closet singer, but you do like to sing to God, don't you? Huh? Yes. He's telling you that you have more of a gift there than you think. I've never heard your voice, and you don't want to hear my voice. But for some reason, God says that's really pleasing to him when you sing and do the praise and worship. Amen? Okay. Again, let's talk about the gifts God has given us. What do you think the corporate? There are corporate gifts that every one of you have. Looking to the left and right again, you all have some gifts that are exactly the same. First, and most important, Holy Spirit. That is a corporate gift. It's given to anybody that asks for it. You don't have to be pretty. You don't have to be anything except saved. And you can have the Holy Spirit. Now, what greater gift than God giving you with somebody with all power, all knowledge, knows what your life should be to guide you around? That's like a blind person with a leader dog, right? What a help. Well, what a help it is to have the Holy Spirit. But what good is that leader dog if he wants to take you this way and you like go and walk that way? None. The same way, the Holy Spirit can't help you unless you listen to God and do it. And that's where the will comes through. We have to do these things. Also, His Word. His Word is the same for all of us. Everybody here has the same Word. I hope. Right? It's the same. That's why we can sit down. I can just throw out a verse and everybody can look it up. It's the same. Right? What would it be if the word was different in everybody's life? Like, look up this verse, Donovan. He might have a different verse than I do. That ain't going to work, is it? That's why it's a corporate thing. That we all have the same Spirit and the same word to go by. Direction. But there are gifts that are personal, too. Right? I mentioned Alex a minute ago. She has a gift of music, right? So that should give you a direction of how God's will is going to work in your life through music. God is never going to use music as a will in my life. I can get up there and nobody is going to pay any attention to me except for the 2 minutes before they walk out. It's not my gift. I'd be stupid to try and use it. Some people have a gift of teaching. But what good is that if you don't use it? You could be the best piano player, or like the young lady back there, be the best singer. But if you don't use it, what good is it? You're not going to lose it, but what good is it? Right? If you bury it, if you hide it, it's not going to do any good for you or for anyone else. Right, Nancy? You're looking at me so intently. It scared me. But that is where Pastor John left off. The will. God's will, right? You agree with what I said, Pastor? All right. Now, everybody here can always do God's will, right? Everybody here always does God's will. No. That was my next question. Do you think there are things out there that can stop us from doing God's will? Who said, of course? Thank you, Joe. Of course there is. Let me throw out a name. We're going to take it, that's what I'm going to do real fast today, is take a look at some of the things that's going to stop you from walking that will out. How many people here have ever heard the name Bob Marley? Raise your hand. John, who's Bob Marley? No. Yes and no. You're absolutely right, but that's not the Bob Marley I'm talking about. I don't know about your spent youth. You know, I'm wondering about you now. Bob Marley, huh? Know him well? There's another Bob Marley. Anybody know? Christmas, who said that? Joe. All right. Well, you want to come up here, Joe? I just study to show yourself approved. Good. Bob Marley, it was right around Christmas time, Swat, brought this to my mind. We've all seen the movie Scrooge, right? Carol, you ever seen the movie Scrooge? Yeah. The first person that he accounts is Bob Marley that comes back and tells him about the visitation of the three spirits, right? When Bob Marley walks into the room, he's dead. So he's a ghost. Just a movie, remember? He is chained down. You hear him coming five blocks away, clunk, clink, clink. He's got these chains. He's got boxes chained to him like this. He's got balls chained to him. It's tied around him, big locks. He comes flopping in. Oh, if I had to carry those chains around, I'd go, oh, too. And he sits down. And Scrooge, first thing Ebenezer Scrooge asks him is, what is all that on you? What is that, a Mr. T starter kit? What do you got on you there? And this is very profound what he says here. I wear these chains. I forged them in life. I made it link by link, day by day. I made it yard by yard, decision by decision. I added to it, pound by pound, sin by sin. Those are some great words. That's out of the book, not the movie. A little more accurate. Some of the written versions. If we could see ourselves spiritually, we'd look like Bob Marley. Everyone in here has put some chains on through the years that stop us and slow us down. Stop us from doing God's will. That's why Betty was laughing at me this morning. She said, what's the title for your message? I said, Escape the Chain Gang. She's looking at me like she always does, like, Bob, you're crazy. That's what we need to do God's will. I don't care if you're the fastest runner in the world. If you had 40 or 50 pounds of chain to carry, I could probably beat you in a race. Probably. Right? Fast story. When I was in the Marine Corps, Parris Island, lovely place. The first thing we did when we got there, we got our nasty haircut. We got our beautiful green outfits, our combat boots, and we were given 2 5-gallon metal buckets. You hear, Sarge? We marched out to the beach. We took a shovel. Not a shovel, it was actually an entrenching tool, so it took longer. Fill those buckets up with sand. Add some water to it. You know what happens when you add sand and water? It turns like a brick. Pick them up. I don't want those out of your hands unless you're going to sleep at night or to the bathroom. We're walking like this. First month, we did everything. Marching. Going through obstacle courses. Can you imagine how hard an obstacle course is in the Marine Corps? But yet, could you imagine carrying 2 5-gallon buckets of wet sand and expect to do it? But we did it. We were the only group that did that. We come in last place in everything for a month. Then one morning we come out and our buckets were standing at attention. He had us take those buckets and throw them away. He said, you're free now to be a Marine. Do you know how strong I felt and how fast I felt getting rid of probably 60 pounds of dead weight? That day we ran the obstacle course, we come in almost a minute faster than anybody else, and we were in last place every other time. That's how bad that weight can stop you and hold you back till you get rid of it. You think a story about a chain gang, like I was talking about with Betty, that's to what? Keep prisoners from running away. Keep them from doing what they want. That's what chains do to us. Keep us from doing what God wants. You ever notice those chains? They're not real long on a prisoner with a ball on it. Because if they were, they could pick it up and kind of run pretty good. They're only about that long. So you can't pick it up and run like this. It don't work. You can't run in your chains. You can't do God's will in chains. And some of the things at the end of... Like I said, Bob Marley had big boxes, strong boxes. And what were inside those boxes? Let me tell you a few things that's going to stop you from doing God's will. First, say, Pastor John, we love our pastor, right? He asks you to do something. He's got a ministry or something he wants done. He's going to ask somebody to do it. If you're carrying around a chain with a box, and in that box it says doubt, you know what? Pastor knows you probably won't even accept the job because you doubt you can do it. I doubt I'm good enough. I don't think I can bring glory to God. I. Doubt will stop you. That person won't even try. But Pastor John loves him and wants to give him a chance. The next person he asks, the box chained to them says fear. Now he knows they'll probably get the work done, but it's not going to be on time. Because every step they're so fearful. Well, I want you to do this. Okay, wow, this could go wrong, that could go wrong. I need to make sure this doesn't happen. So each step, they think of the 5 to 20 things that could happen, and they go and try and fix those before they happen. Because they're scared they might happen. Right? You wouldn't believe the fear out there right now, meteorites. Listen, be honest, I got a lot of worries in my life, but getting hit in the head with a meteorite is not one of them. Not that it would hurt me anyway. It's ridiculous. They're telling you the times that most meteorites hit, so to be careful when you're out. Of course, that's the same people that wear aluminum foil on their heads so the radiation won't get them or something. But the pastor would ask somebody with that chain on their life, he would know that that would probably not get done on time. Those that have a box that say unforgiveness and anger, pastor knows what's going to happen to that person. They're going to start out great. Then somebody is going to do something or say something that's going to make them mad. Pastor, you know what he said to me? I can't forgive. I quit. I'm gone. You ever know people like that? How can you walk out God's will with unforgiveness and anger in your heart? What about a spirit of weariness, discouragement? Pastor asks them to do something. Oh, they're willing. Yeah, I'll do it. But the minute it gets hard, they get discouraged and they quit. They're out of here, right? If everybody in the church quit when it got hard, there wouldn't be anybody here but this thing. Because it's always going to be hard. God wants us to get rid of those chains. I'll give you a couple stories. My vast knowledge of reading stuff that, like Pastor Don reads, it makes nobody else understands or even wants to know, right, Pastor? But for some reason, we like to read those things. If you want to know something that makes no importance, ask Pastor Don or I. We probably have memorized it. You're welcome. See, he didn't argue with it, though, did he? No. In India, in these little remote villages, they train animals, elephants. The only thing they have is rope and trees. A full-grown elephant could pull up any tree in that jungle with his trunk with one, whoop, and it's gone. Because that's what they use them for. They carry 5 and 6 logs in their trunk. Elephants are massive. They're strong. You know how they train them? They get them when they're real young. Just babies. They get them out of the jungle. And they tie a rope around them, and they take a stake, like you would use for a tent, peck it into the ground, maybe a 5-foot rope on it. A baby elephant can't pull that out, can't break it. But its natural instinct is to try. It'll try, it'll cry, it'll pull till it's so tired it just falls. And it'll get up and try it again. It's just so wore out. that it just falls and can't do anything more. So you know what? Pretty soon that elephant gives up, quits trying. By now, this elephant is maybe 5, 6, 7, 10 years old, could lift any tree in the woods, in the jungle. Any dozen trees he could carry in his trunk. He could break chains, let alone a little rope they could make in the jungle. But he doesn't try, because he knows that chain is too heavy. Maybe some are here like that today. You know what's stopping you, but you've tried so often to break that chain that you've just given up. One more story. It's an open market in Madagascar. They have all these different animals and stuff. This Hindu priest was walking by, and he's seen about a dozen doves. They had a little stake in the ground, and they had maybe a 4-foot string, and each one had a string tied to its feet. These doves were just walking around a circle. They were happy as can be. There was food there. There was bugs, you know. Madagascar, I guess there's bugs. Never been there. Rachel, where's Rachel? She probably has ministered there. If not, maybe she'll go there. But they were happy. This Hindu priest comes up, holy, holy man, holy, no, real holy. Said, it hurts my heart to see these doves tied up. I am going to set them free. He goes over to the man and said, how much for the doves? He said, 5 denier or whatever their money is. I don't know, pesos, I'm not sure. And he says, no. I mean for all of them. Guy looked at him, oh, okay. Give him a amount. He said, give him the money. He said, hold on, I'll go get you some cages. No, I don't want cages. I am going to set them free. Ooh, okay, you're paying for them. You do whatever you want. He went over, untied them, took the stake out. What do you think happened? They all continued. Look at me. No string, nothing. This is all they've known, pecking. The holy man looked in bewilderment. Why aren't they leaving? I set them free. I broke their chain. So he gets mad. He runs over with a stick, shoes them. Get out of here, you dumb doves. They fly about 20 foot. They all land, and they get in the same circle. Just like this, with nothing holding them. The holy man couldn't figure out why he couldn't set them free. Why, when he set them free, they weren't really free. That's why sometimes we can't break that chain ourselves. So what can I do to break free? That's how I'm going to end today. Pastor John has always taught me, show them what the problem is, and give them an answer, right? And you know where the answer is coming from? Word of God. Romans 8, 1 through 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. The only chain God put on you, I'd said earlier, was the chain of death. When you got saved, that was broken. But we've made a lot of chains since then. Even after we got saved, we've made chains. We've got things that stop us. Could I have the prayer team come up, please? What we need is to be willing to be set free and healed and made whole. Were those doves ready? The holy man that bought them was ready, but apparently they weren't ready, were they? Remember the story about the lame man at the pool of Bethesda? He had laid by this pool waiting to be healed for 38 years. Almost 4 decades, this poor guy laid there waiting to be healed. Some of us have carried our chains around for 40 years. Things that hold us back. Things that we don't want. We may have built them, we may have made them, but it's not something that we want. God knows that. And one day, what does Jesus say to this guy? Jesus just happens by coincidence to be walking by there. And he looks at the guy, and what do you think he asks him? Do you want to be healed? That's a question Jesus is asking you this morning. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free of these chains? Do you want to let go? Do you want to be free? That's what he's asking. You know, sometimes, just like those doves or that elephant, we get comfortable in our chains because we know them. Even if what we know is bad, we're more comfortable with what we know than what we don't know. If you're willing to admit there's a problem and you're willing to let it go, Jesus Christ can break those chains in your life. Amen? We're all helpless in our own strength. But we're not hopeless, because our hope is in Jesus Christ. Put up Philippians 4:13, please. But basically what Philippians 4:13 says is you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. This is a promise from God, a promise in God's word, and he keeps his promises. In his name, you can defeat any enemy, break any shackle that's on you. So reject the lies of Satan and start believing what Jesus Christ says. Jesus said, I love you. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have a will in your life. So trust him. Yield your life completely to him. Say to yourself, I'm not going to live my life this way anymore. Lord Jesus, change me, cleanse me, and take control. I give you that control this morning. As you do that, Jesus will break the chains so that you can live and be free and unbridled in hope and victory and able to walk out the will in your life. There is no adversary that doesn't go down in the name of Jesus Christ. What can stand against Jesus Christ and his word? Nothing. Nothing. You just have to know the truth, which is God's word, so you can fight with that. So here's the secret. Those chains are sin. We're looking at ourselves in the spiritual Bob Marley eyes. We see a person chained up, held back by sin. Nothing, God is never going to put anything back to hold you back. Like I said at the beginning, he did put the chain of death, but Jesus Christ broke that. We are free. What you need to do is remember this. This is the truth you need to remember. Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He died for your chain to be taken off, for your sin to be forgiven. So what you need to do is bring those chains, bring that sin up, and lay it at the foot of the cross. Don't carry it yourself. You can't do it in yourself, just like that holy man couldn't do it. You can't do it in yourself. Only Jesus Christ can break those chains. So turn that sin over to Christ. But then if you're a Christian, you have to remember, you're a new person in Christ. You're a son, not a slave. You have been set free. You just need to learn to live in that victory that Christ has given you. You can break that chain today. You can do that today. You can do that this morning. You can do that right now. And that's broken by prayer. Amen? We have the prayer team up here. If there's anything that you want to lay down at the altar, don't drag your chain out of here. Walk out of here a free man or woman able to do what God's will is. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we can't even come up and ask for this without your strength, Father God. Give us the strength, Father God, to know what you want us to do, Father God. Give us the strength to step out, Father God, and to get prayer and to get those chains broken. Father, we know that you love us. Father, we pray for the strength to love you back as much as you love us. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come up for prayer.
Undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call.